We're back. You know it's going to be good when Katie leads with... Now, this has got to be good, okay, Daniel, okay? Because we can't be doing that many retakes, okay, without you, like, cocking up all the time. So it's going to be the best one ever.
Not verbatim what I said.
It's pretty much...
We've just pulled up, and we're in Corfe Castle at the moment, overlooking the beautiful castle ruins that are... Well, quite famous. Is it the most famous castle in the UK?
It's got to be. Certainly the history behind it. The story of like talk about a pair of siblings, right, that just can't make it work. So basically, this dude owned it and then was made to give it away and so didn't want to give it away, so he burned it to the ground.
Had a bond, I think.
Did he bomb, didn't he? Wow. Like gunpowder had literally just been invented. He was like, I know what to use that for. I'm going to bomb the shit out of this place so my brother doesn't get it.
You're not getting my castle.
Absolutely. Check it out. The History of Corfe Castle. It's half-baked knowledge at best, but it's pretty true. Anyway, yeah. So anyway, we are here. How are you doing?
I'm really well, thank you. Well.
Shades are off.
Yeah, because I have to be real. You know.
Katie also said, yeah, you're going to take the shades off. I'm like, yep, sure.
People look for eyes. That's how we're hardwired.
This is true. Do you guys want to see my eyes?
They're beautiful.
The sun shining and it's really bright. Anyway, fuck it.
Do you want connection or do you want comfortable eyes on that side?
What are my retinas still right where they're supposed to be working as God intended?
Well, it makes me really itchy when I see like big German tour buses pull up the car park.
Yeah. So yeah, it's all a bit clandestine. So we pulled into this car park where literally every man and his dog is here today because they've come to see the ruins that were... I wouldn't say beautiful. They're kind of striking. Yeah, check out Corfe Castle, Corfe. And you check out the pictures there. It really is it's a place to visit. It's absolutely stunning.
It's very pretty. And if you know my story a little bit and how I geeked out on Enid Blyton and the Famous Five, that castle there is actually in her books.
Yeah.
Because these are her stomping grounds. She used to live like really, really close to here, actually.
Apparently, she was a bit of a shitbag. Just for the record, let the record reflect. Apparently, she wasn't that nice. But anyway, I digress. Great author. Personality is, can't have it all, can you? Strike me like that. Honestly, you think I'm adorable. You tell them all.
So, what's going on today? We had a fantastic daily jam.
We did.
With
brilliant.
People from Tunisia, from Indonesia, from up north. And it was absolutely brilliant because we talked about, it was quite deep actually, considering it's only a co-working hour, we went quite deep and we covered everything. And we talked about like politics and how different countries handle it and about constitution and, the things we can and cannot control and what we want to be for others in this life. And, we talked about being this vessel of joy and love and light for others. And I really liked it and it really resonated with me so much so that I just wrote a post on it.
Yeah, big shout out to Mohamed Wadi from Tunisia. He's lovely. He's not everybody's lovely in Lingo Tribe, but he I think the newest member of Lingo Tribe. Is that by my math?
Yeah.
He's absolutely brilliant, super insightful, and the first person I've ever met from Tunisia. So really, really interesting stuff shared there in the tribe. And yeah, much
just really good vibes.
Yeah.
Just amazing. It just goes to show, you know, if you put everything behind you, or like if you don't make the differences the main theme, but the commonalities, the common ground.
Sure.
All of a sudden you've got people being normal around each other and opening up and sharing because they feel comfortable and they know you don't have to fit in.
Yeah.
You can just be yourself and be accepted. And that's a big part of what we want to achieve.
I know I say this every week, but I have never seen a community spirit like within the one we have within Lingo Tribe. And we didn't even invent it. It materialized itself. But honestly, it's the way I see everybody help and support each other and the work that's being done as a tribe as well. It's phenomenal. So thank you guys. Honestly, keep it coming. I look forward to working every single day. And I've always enjoyed my work. And I know you feel the same way as well. But I have never looked forward more to my working day than I do today with Lingo Tribe. And that's the truth. And I said as much. I was on a call. I can't remember. It might even be Mohammed this morning, actually. We had a one-to-one. And I said, I look forward to working with you guys every single day. And I want to do this for the next 40 years. It's brilliant.
And you know you're onto something when you look forward to the following morning. Like when I see the daily jam on my schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I'm absolutely loving at the moment is we have people recommending us, so people within the tribe recommending us to other people, and other people who have maybe seen the podcast or maybe read something about it, they're coming to us from all over the world. I've just been chatting to somebody from Brazil this afternoon. It's phenomenal. It's so exciting.
So interesting as well.
Yeah.
To have that network.
Yeah. And I think I need to spend a bit more time actually getting, there's a steam train going past.
Couldn't be more
steam. Oh my days. Honestly, enough to make you sick in your mouth. I mean, couldn't be more picturesque. It's the fucking steam train going by.
Did you hear the whoop?
A little toot toot. Yeah. So getting back on point, it's absolutely magical. And I do actually need to do some more groundwork to actually talk specifics about what Lingo Tribe does and what it is and what it's becoming. So I'll get some more information out on that. But anyway, that's for a different time. Bear with me. I need my hands for this one because I'm just going to pivot. I'm going to pivot to what I promised you guys I was going to do last week. Looking at myself this week, I am definitely going to go and see my man, Koma. He's from Syria. He's a barber and he is absolutely brilliant. He is brilliant. And he is absolutely brilliant. And I'm looking at myself here and my face is just out of control. I said this last week. It was actually a fact when we had to do the retake last week.
Yeah, because that was your first comment when you saw yourself. Like, yeah. Holy day.
Well, that's when Katie said to me last night, I said, you're looking so white. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like,
It's an indication.
21.
We've been together for half my life and that makes me so happy.
Thank you.
In fact, this month when I turn whatever age I turn, we've
never aged you
down. We've been together half my life.
Cool.
And that makes me really happy.
So. I'm really happy as well, actually. It's brilliant.
Good.
Thank you. The right answer.
So,
okay, here we go. So, delivering you guys what I promised, here we go. Put the shades on. So, there is no company out there in the world quite like this one. So, on our live call we had this morning, not the Daily Jam, there's their live call we had as part of Lingo Tribe, which is something else. I've got to zoom on. Oh, that's better. Thank you very much. Okay, I said, this week, on the podcast, we're going to be talking about this bad boy here because it is quite possibly the most divisive product out there known to man. And I said to you, I think I said last week, I said the copy that it deployed by this company is so unique and so phenomenal. It is just worthy of its own shout out. And that's what we're going to do here because obviously we touch on copy, every week, you know, but it's time to get real and it's time to make it applied. And one of the things Katie and I have talked about doing, and we'd like your feedback on, is we've thought about going into UK supermarkets and shops and boutiques and whatever, and seeing what products we can find that are so quintessentially British or English, and looking at the copy that goes with it. And again, what makes that special. And so let us know what you think about that. That's something we're quite happy to go and do because, well, just as we love like learning anything we can, any of the intricacies of other countries we haven't been to or spent much time in, talking to Mohammed from Tunisia this morning was super interesting. We think that there's quite possibly some interest in knowing what's weird and wonderful about our shops here, right? And the thing about this company is Marmite, and I say I don't know who they're owned by, but let's focus less on the company itself because the company is Unilever. Yeah, I was going to say the company isn't Marmite, but the product Marmite is quite unique in that its slogan, its copy is, you'll either love it or hate it. Now, I don't know. I mean, for me, that's pretty ballsy.
The cojones of any company.
I mean, can you imagine like your electricity provider going, hey man, you'll love us or hate us.
Or a lawyer.
Or a lawyer, right? Or your car dealership. You know, or the electrical goods shop you go to go and buy your TV. Can you imagine them saying, no, you love us or you hate us. That's literally like it or lump it. Yeah, embrace us or fuck off. Having been in coffee for a little while now and language for much longer, this dawned on me the other day. I thought, who the hell came up with that? Okay. I mean, I'm surprised they weren't shot at that Monday morning coffee conference call, right? For coming up with such an idea, and yet it works, and it's now so established that it is. They are not only, as it goes, by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen. Well, okay, that's a little bit dated now, okay, because this is the other thing. Marmite keeps forever as well. You can have a look inside. So there's brand spanking new. There's nothing in there. Woo, that hums. absolutely have. I love it because I love all things stinky and pongy. Okay, and Katie, I think, is about to kiss goodbye. Stay with us. Don't head towards the light. Stay with us. Okay, this stuff absolutely haunts. I'll get to the description of the contents in a sec. But it's burning. But honestly, this stuff is quite incredible. I mean, it's by appointment to the royal family. So this is obviously, our queen has long since passed, but by appointment to the king. This is how good these people are. And the product, it just not only in terms of the copy, but the content is so divisive. It's one of those things that there's maybe some of you guys watching this are familiar with Vegemite. That's sort of the watered down, the younger, softer, gentler cousin. Okay. But Marmite is the turbocharged, all singing, all dancing, all the bells and whistles. It's yeast based and it is there. It smells like if you took, say, a bottle of soy sauce, right? And a bottle of fish sauce, and I'm trying to think what else is like really umami, like and really stinks. What else could we possibly? Who said something this morning?
Maggie,
and there's a bottle of Maggie from Germany, right? And you put them all together, and they made lots of little obnoxious babies. Okay, that is the product. Okay, that is sort of getting closer to what the smell and the taste is like. It is so pungent, honestly.
It's fine. We can all believe you.
It's so good, honestly. Put it this way, right? If you really wanted to piss off somebody, like, you know, if you smeared this inside their curtain, like behind their curtains or whatever, okay, they'd have to move house because it smells so bad, and they'd be wondering where the smell was coming from. It's so pungent. Oh, I'm quite enjoying this.
Fantastic.
Okay, anyway.
So the point being
that the copy behind this company is so effective that it's become an everyday slogan. So if you are describing something to somebody, you can say it's like Marmite. And that's a real UK expression and everybody gets it. It's like Marmite. And so it got me thinking that, companies, the greatest copy seems to be the stuff that not only engages, but it also engages in quite a divisive way and it makes its way into common parlance. And so that's why I wanted to share this with you guys today. This stuff here, has established itself not only as a household name, but it's used as a turn of phrase.
Yes, which is super interesting for localization, of course, because a while back I posted about, a while ago I posted about how I like my towels really hard and scratchy. And I use the example of Weetabix. Now, in the UK, Weetabix is a staple. You'll find it in most kitchens, in most kitchen cupboards. It's a dry, wheat-based sort of, not cornflake, but it's a cereal. They're like little cereal bricks, and you pour milk on them, and they dissolve, and it's supposed to be really healthy. I like it.
So it's just Weetabix.
So it's Mr. Study Run.
With a shit ton of wheat he's got to sell. What am I going to do? Hey, guys, this is really healthy stuff.
I'm no doctor, but people like it. And I think because it helps them go to the loo. It's not really my thing. But I refer to my towels being Weetabix, like Weetabix, because it's dry and really scratchy. And people in the UK understood straight away. And then I had all these messages from German readers who were either reading the original post or the translated version by LinkedIn, which is shit. In most cases.
Yes.
And they said, like, I don't understand. I don't get the reference. Like, what do you mean, Weetabix towels? And I said, well, you know, the kind of texture. And then somebody said, because we don't have Weetabix in Germany, why not use Kneckebrot, which is a really, it is such a German staple. And again, it's a staple in every kitchen cupboard. It's really hard, dry, crunchy bread, like big crackers, rectangular crackers with like seeds in them, and there's different variations, and you put butter on them and pate or whatever.
It's like a form of culinary punishment.
I like it, but it's how you grow up. And when I said, oh, so my towels are like Kneckebrot, everyone like, no way, you like them like that, and everyone could relate straight away. And so the invitation being, when you work with languages and when you have different target markets, make sure they get your localizations and your puns. And there's so much potential there to make your slogan really funny and your about me really funny, because all you need is to think about, right, what do they have in their cupboards? What can they really relate with? What's a childhood memory? Like when you talked about favorite juice being Mbongo, and like, what's Mbongo? Well, it was big in the 80s and maybe early 90s. Not for me, because I didn't grow up here, so I didn't get the reference, which is almost always great fun when we meet with our UK-based friends and everyone's laughing around the table. I'm like, I missed the first 20 years in the UK.
You do pretty bloody well for a woman who missed the first 20 years of her life in the UK, you know. You really do.
Yeah, but that's when you notice the difference. So
true.
Even though on a good day my English is okay, I'd like to think that there's always a certain percentage where you can just tell whether somebody was born and raised in a country or not. So make sure, if you want to be perceived as somebody expert in that specific language, he says, stumbling over her words. I'm so fucking annoyed by that. make sure that you play with puns and localizations, yeah, and something everybody can relate to, that where there's a proper emotional connection. Case in point, today in our call, we invited others to pitch in and give us their ideas about what we can talk about in the podcast. And Anna Luisa, a wonderful copywriter who spent lots of time in the UK, she said, what I find really interesting is the cultural differences between Germany and the UK. And that leads me to my next point. When you talk about things, staples, cupboard staples, or units of measurement, or politicians or celebrities, make sure everyone in the room gets the reference. Yes. Because this morning they said, so how tall are you? And I gave them my height in meters, because I know roughly from when I was 14, I was measured at 1.82 meters. I have no idea what it is exactly in the UK. I'm not interested. I don't do funny units of measurement. The imperial system shoots me out, and so I measure my weight in kilograms and not in stones. And
well, like you like measure a horse, like yeah. That's how the English do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, all really fascinating and important stuff, right?
Indeed. Yeah. Absolutely.
Give them something they can relate to.
Absolutely. On the subject of giving it to people, we need to give people homework, because we need people to dial in with their thoughts.
Nobody needs homework. Yes, this is a podcast.
No, it's got to have some kind of seriousness. What is it? We're just sat in a car park here looking at a castle, like just like pretty slacking off. Get back to work, people. We should give people a task.
I need to know from you. So one cultural difference where you stumbled, or maybe that weirded you out, or you keep fighting against...
Cultural differences between here and Germany that I keep fighting against.
Where you think, like, this is the reason why we couldn't live there anymore. Or this is why Germany will never be great again.
Talk about putting me on the spot. Can't we save that for next week? This is crazy.
No, I don't want to mean, don't want to be divisive, but there are certain differences where I flinch, speaking for myself. Yeah. I can't speak for you. I know we've shared many and vivid conversations about this. Speaking for myself, with a reverse cultural shock, because I've lived all my adult years abroad. I lived in Spain for a while, then we moved to Mexico, and then we've lived in the UK forever. So whenever I do go back to Germany, or let's say to the Netherlands or to Belgium,
yeah,
I notice the subtle differences that make me so grateful I live here.
That's really nice of you to say that. Thank you very much.
I can
think of a few, but I'm conscious of the fact we've got to go and pick up our unloved children, because the time is ticking away and we've got to go and grab them from school.
At least it's not raining today.
I know. We adore our children, just for the record. I tell you what. Okay, so my homework is for this week, I will think of an example of major cultural differences. Been a bit of a tangent, but yeah. I will do that. And in terms of homework, I'm going to give you guys some homework. Okay. I don't care. I want you guys to go into your larder, your pantry, your fridge, your cupboards, or whatever, or your local supermarket. That one there. Go and find the most divisive food type, okay, native to your country. Okay, it doesn't have to be a country of origin. It can just be wherever it is you're living, okay? And think about how the copy for that is written,
yes.
Okay? And how it's impacts society and how its popularity has come about, and perhaps share your stories when you see this. Share your stories on how many channels have we got? YouTube?
Oh, many,
lots of on any of the channels, because we'd love to hear your thoughts. Okay,
yes,
this is arguably the most divisive food stuff in the UK, and it is hugely popular and always will be, even though it tastes like bum to most people. Okay, so I want, that's your homework for this week. Dial in with some great examples, and I will answer your question in next week's episode. But right now, we've got to go pick up our children. who only ever hear us bang on all day about Lingo Tribe. Hannah Orson's like, Daddy, you want to come play this? I'm like, no, child, I'm working. I'm an important international celebrity, don't you know? But Daddy.
But Daddy,
you said you love us. Yes, whatever. It's my birthday. It's actually our oldest birthday tomorrow. So we've got to go and crack on with that. Anyway, so there you go. Homework. Right. See you guys next week.
Mwah.
Mwah. Take care.
Bye.
The thing. Hit it.